time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your host, Dana Rodriguez, is joined this week by educator Lori Fisher and Kira Pace, technical editor. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Happy upcoming Halloween. We hope you are all ready for it on Tuesday, and you have the good candy, not the lousy candy. I have the good candy in my house.
Yeah. Not we're that. Saving last year's serving last year's
no,
candy.
No, I don't. Last year's candy goes out. It doesn't get given away. So if the kids didn't like it last year,
where does it go?
The garbage.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, happy upcoming Halloween. We hope you're ready with everything you need for a lovely Tuesday night. And we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. We are looking forward to hearing from you. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 841-4134, area code 415. And also, we have a toll-free number. Yes, it is not a trick. It has really happened. It's 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, maybe some Halloween questions thrown in. I have no idea. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER1, as in the numeral 1. That is mindsovermatter1. @gmail.com, which brings up another point, but I will get to it in a second. So again, that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to hear this show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org, where they have their live stream. Again, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like to get a podcast of the show, or listen to a podcast, rather, that should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I mentioned an email problem earlier. Some friends of mine and David, even, who's a friend of mine too, got an email from somebody, says, Dana Rodriguez, Minds Over Matter. This is the old address, by the way, the one I don't want you to use anymore. So Dana Rodriguez, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Obviously, it's a scam email, okay? I am in good health. It says, good day. Hope this finds you in good health. I would like to seek an urgent favor from you. So would appreciate it if you confirmed that you received this. Don't confirm it, okay? I'm not asking for any confirmation of any kind, shape, or form.
You've never said good day to anybody.
I've never said good day to anybody.
That's how you know.
I strongly suspect this is done by the same people that offered me a fantastic prize from Nigeria. But again, if you get something from me, sent to Minds Over Matter, from mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, please don't, and it's asking you, it says I'm in trouble or something urgent. It's not. It's not for me. So don't answer it.
Now, is it true that you are here in the studio in San Francisco and not in the Philippines?
That is true.
Okay.
Or Nigeria.
Okay.
I don't think we can verify that necessarily.
So I'm sorry about that. I will look into it. Please remember that our Minds Over Matter address now is mindsovermatter1. That's the numeral 1 at gmail.com. Don't answer any other emails from me or Minds Over Matter, okay? Please. I don't want anybody to get in any sort of trouble. So, but feel free to contact me at mindsovermatter1 anytime. All right. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Kira Pace will remember that Wild at Heart is not blue velvet. Kira Pace will remember that Wild at Heart is not blue velvet. Kira Pace will remember that Wild at Heart is not blue velvet. And Kira Pace will remember that Wild at Heart is not Blue Velvet.
Had you forgotten that at some point?
Last week, there was a question about Laura Dern and Diane Ladd, and I pointed out how they start together in Blue Velvet, and I, of course, meant Wild at Heart.
Of course you did.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
Everybody knew that, okay. I'm sure. Yeah.
The thing is, I actually know that. It's just, you know, talking on the radio is hard.
It is.
Yeah.
People don't understand.
And...
All right, so after a perfectly nightmarish 2017 baseball season, Lori Fisher finally figured out his dream fantasy costume for Halloween this Tuesday. He is going as the 2018 San Francisco Giants World Series champion.
I am, and it won't be a dream then. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will be in his favorite Halloween costume on Tuesday, the one he loves so much it's his everyday attire, a hobo.
That's right. And I regretfully have to say that I didn't realize that Kira Pace came in wearing a costume tonight. I thought she was just being butch. I don't know.
Because I normally come out in full mechanics gears with, like, coveralls and
the Frida Kahlo.
The only thing missing is the plaid shirt. What can I say?
What?
But
you don't know what's under these coveralls.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Three plaid shirts.
Dana's covering up our embarrassment for not... for wearing our hobo and daily clothing costumes.
Right.
Yeah. I tried to come as Dana tonight. It didn't work out.
Well, I usually try to come up with the absolute laziest thing that can still qualify as a Halloween costume.
This is a great costume.
Yeah, thank you. You guys went one lazier than I did by just not even bothering.
We out-lazied Kira.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Good job.
If you want to go as me, you have to wear a navy blue shirt.
I know.
And Kira, we'll start with you.
All right. I am going to start with a handout, so just the ones that are circled. I did a lot of them. So, and just go ahead and shout them out if you know them as I read through them. But I'm going to read you the line from a tombstone of a famous person, and you tell me whose gravesite I am describing. So,
okay.
So, okay, the first one, easy peasy one, that's all, folks.
Mel Blanc.
That is Mel Blanc. Next one, I will not be right back after this message. Okay.
It could be a lot of people.
Yeah.
We'll move on then. The next one, in.
Just the word in.
Just the word in, as in this person was in a lot of films. So, and also presumably in his gray site.
It's funny.
Next one, I'm a writer, but then nobody's perfect. Love will tear us apart. The next one comes with a clue. Murdered by a traitor and a coward whose name is not worthy to appear here.
Jesse James.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
The coward Robert Ford.
Yeah,
right.
That is absolutely correct. The next one, at rest, an American soldier and defender of the Constitution. I will go ahead and let you know that when I saw that, my eyebrows raised up quite a bit. Yeah.
Because you were surprised?
Because I'm not really sure that that's the fairest description of this person.
Benedict Arnold.
No.
Okay.
Douglas MacArthur.
No.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Next one. King of the Nudies. I was glad to do it.
King of the Nudies.
Meyer?
Yep. That's absolutely right.
Russ Meyer.
Russ Meyer.
Uh-huh. Faster. Pussycat,
nice.
Pussycat Kill Kill. Two more. Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico.
Emperor Norton.
That is Emperor Joshua Norton. And finally, and this is a quote from her memorial thing, whatever. For her epitaph, she suggested, excuse my dust.
You know?
No.
Dorothy Parker.
Yes.
Oh, clever.
Very nice.
So, all right. So the ones left over are?
Only five of them. So I will not be right back after this message. I'm a writer, but then nobody's perfect. Love will tear us apart. And finally, at rest, an American soldier and defender of the Constitution.
Could be a lot of people.
Yeah, we'll not be right back after this message. So,
well,
could be any of the talk show commercial guys.
Johnny Carson?
It's not, no.
Jack Parr?
Nope. Okay.
Steve Allen?
Nope.
Are we in the right ballpark with that kind of talk show hosting?
You're in a ballpark.
All right.
And, Lori, why don't you go ahead?
Jim. All right. My question is about the Beatles, and it is, I don't know why I was looking at a list of songs the Beatles wrote. So one of the clues is not just that they sang, they wrote this, okay? They had a total of 16 songs that only had one word in the title.
Okay.
Four of them have one syllable. Four of them have three syllables. Those are the ones I'm looking for. So again, if they didn't write it, like the song Boys is one syllable, but they didn't write it, so that doesn't count. So four one-syllable songs and four three-syllable songs.
All right, so Yesterday?
Yep, that's one of the threes. Give her a bell on that.
All right. Oh, no, it's only two.
Yeah.
Give the question once more.
So the question is, of the songs that the Beatles wrote and recorded, what do I have here? 16 of them have just one word, but I'm looking for the four of those that have one syllable and the four of them that have three syllables. And Yesterday, Kara got right away. We're looking for three more three syllables and four one syllables, all known to the Beatles aficionados like yourselves.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of the Matter.
Gareth, I'm Hayward.
Hi, Gareth.
I got a couple questions for you.
Yes.
Here's a question. What do Reed Shelton, Albert Finney, and Terrell Cotterill share in common?
Daddy Warbucks?
What?
They all played Daddy Warbucks in
Annie. Yeah.
Excellent.
I didn't think you would get Carol Carr's connection. He played Daddy Warbucks in this television special called Funny Papers.
Huh. Hmm. Well, I knew the first two, so I was guessing on the third.
Here's my second question. Goldie and the Gingerbreads is the first girl group to do what?
Once more, Gareth. I'm sorry.
Goldie and the Gingerbreads was the all first girl group to have to do what?
First girl group. Goldie.
First all girl group to do what?
What's the name of the group?
Goldie and the. What's the
Gingerbread.
Name?
That's Jenny Rive Raven.
Goldie and
the
Gingerbread.
Did they sell a million records?
No.
We don't know.
Write their own music?
You don't know?
Write their own songs?
Well, you're on the right track for once. Close.
Well, write whatever their hit might have been.
Yeah, but it was something else. It's besides that.
And play their own instruments?
Yes.
Really?
Good for you.
What was their hit song?
Well, they had one song. I figure I Sold My Heart to the Junk Man. They didn't have that many hits, though, but they were considered to be the first girl group ever to play their own instruments.
Nice.
They had a keyboardist and a guitarist.
Good.
Right. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
The Bangles of whatever decade that might have been.
I never heard that. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. And let's see. Okay, I'll do a question. What is the most visited national park in the U.S. that is named after a person?
Oh, I was so excited, but I don't think Smoky Mountain National Park is named after a person. So,
and is that the most visited one?
It is, Smoky? By far.
Yeah. Named after Smoky the Bear, who's not a person, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly why it did not count.
What is the most visited national park in the United States that is named after a person?
That's a really good question.
Well, thank you.
Have you been there?
I have not. But it's visited by a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's
I would
not
think.
One of the obscure ones.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have no. Is it named for a person, let's say, of non-native descent?
That is correct.
Okay. So it's.
So
all right.
Once more, what is the most visited national park in the United States that is named after a person? Second question, and I think we'll get this out of the way. Let's start this now. Parenting Magazine last year did a survey, and I've asked a version of this question before, but it's slightly the answers are slightly different than what I asked, so I'll do it again. So again, Parenting Magazine did a survey of parents and children, mostly children, last year. And they asked the six least favorite Halloween candies to receive of all time. Actually, it was 10, but I'm just going to ask for six.
This is all time, huh?
Well, in 2016, I guess.
Oh.
So, but these, you know. Anyway, so Parenting Magazine did a survey amongst children and asked them the least favorite Halloween candy that they received.
I'm going with Mary Jane's.
Mary Jane's is actually number four. Very good.
Oh. It's a horrible
candy.
And I know I'm offending someone out
there. Break your teeth
there.
On
yeah.
them. So, right. yes. Right. So I'll give you a guess, too.
Well, the one I want to guess is the kind that comes in one of two colored wrappers, either an orange wrapper or a black wrapper, and they're terrible, and they have no name on them. So I don't know what to call them.
They have no name.
No, they're awesome.
That almost sounded like Mary Jane's, because Mary Jane's coming.
Well,
oh, maybe yeah. that's what, I don't no. know what a Mary Jane's
they just
is.
Have
so.
The, don't they have the one wrapper, but they're terrible? The
yeah.
Mary Jane's?
Kind
of red, yeah.
I'll guess... I'll guess Smarties?
No, Smarties actually further down the list, but I think it was in the top 10. So,
yeah, how
but
about
not
Good and Plenty?
Good and Plenty is number 5.
Thank
nice.
You.
So, there you go. Okay.
I'm going with ones I don't like.
Yeah.
So, again, Parenting Magazine did a survey amongst kids last year, and they asked the 6 least favorite things that people give out for Halloween candy-wise. And so far we have Mary Jane's and Good and Plenty.
What about Tootsie Rolls?
No, not Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, people that's... like them.
I like them. So,
well, that's not the standard, by the way. You're liking
yeah, them. Yeah, it is, because I only give away good candy in my house. And again, what is the most visited national park in the U.S., named after a person? What is that? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
So I know you know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. The oldest FM station west of the Mississippi is?
KALW.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who started it?
Well,
who started KALW?
Who built it? What company built it to start with?
Electronic
company, of course.
Wasn't it built by the school district in San Francisco?
No, it was planned at the school district, but GE built it.
Uh-huh.
General Electric. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So that's not really a question. My second question, another FM station, very famous, started as KX, and actually it was initiated by one of my friends, great friend. His name is George Conklin. I see him all the time. George Conklin. If you Google KX, you will see his beautiful picture. Very good man. He's in his 80s now. But he played a big part and he started that station. What station? KX.
Is it a jazz station?
No. Your competitor.
Oh, KQED.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Please, everybody, Google search KX to see George Conklin. He's still alive. He's very good. He played a big role in the whole media from the 40s up to today. And he also... was manager for KCBS and many FM stations as well. Okay, the second question, this is about rivers. If you know it, okay. If you don't, I asked you that question before. If you don't know the answer, leave it to the audience. The longest one is over 4,000 miles long. Which one?
The
river.
River. Yeah. Over 4,000. In fact, 4,136 miles long.
The Nile
it is. Okay. So the largest, as far as the amount of water.
The Amazon.
Amazon it is, very good. Okay, the shortest is only 200 feet.
You've asked this before.
It's a single initial name, and it's in Oregon.
Okay, I'll give you that, the Deer River, that's good.
Yeah.
Now the narrowest, you probably wouldn't, you just leave this to the audience, is 10 inches, but it's a long river. And the widest is 200 miles wide. Let's leave the narrowest and the widest to the audience.
All right.
You can get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And Kira, it's your turn.
All right. Okay, so I just did death. Let's do some dismemberment.
You're in the Halloween spirit.
I sure am.
Yeah.
Dressed up and everything. So in what Best Picture winner was the title character killed by being drawn and quartered? Best Picture winner and the title character.
Braveheart.
It is Braveheart,
oh,
yep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good job. And as documented in a 2001 nonfiction bestseller, writer Michael Paterniti and pathologist Dr. Thomas Stoltz Harvey took a road trip from Princeton, New Jersey to Berkeley, California with what legendary item?
Einstein's brain.
Yep, in a Tupperware.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you want one more dismemberment?
Okay.
So what 1920s silent film comedian famously bought an insurance policy with Lloyd's of London that was payable if his eyes ever uncrossed?
Oh, it's Ben Turpin.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right.
It's a good policy.
All right. And they never did, by the way. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
For the epitaph, it's going to take a wild guess, the defender of the Constitution and whatnot.
Yeah.
Would that be Ezra Pound?
No, it's not.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's a good guess.
Is that it? Oh, okay.
I don't think Pound served as a soldier, did he? Did your person actually serve as an American soldier, do you know? Or is that irony?
I am not going to answer that question right now.
Uh-huh. All right.
Hmm. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You keep this to me?
It is you. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm a Nigerian prince, and I'll only actually answer the question if you give me a credit card number.
All right, yeah. Okay, I'll work on it.
Tell by the accent.
This is Hayes. Lovell Terrace Apart, Ian Curtis.
Lovely. Absolutely correct.
Who was it?
Ian Curtis. That one was in there for me. He was the lead singer of Joy Division.
Joy Division, yeah. And we miss him. We always go. Thank you. Good night. Have a great time, guys.
Oh, thanks, Ace. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. This is an audience participation quiz program, so, of course, we want to encourage your participation out there. The two numbers to join us with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, there is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. And, Lori, I believe it is your turn.
I have a two-part question. I'm only going to ask one part. If you get it really quickly, I'll add part two. Of the eight nominations for Best Actor or Actress for a Shakespeare part, all but one of them have been for a title part. Who was nominated for Best Actor or Actress in a Shakespeare play, a movie, who is not a title character?
Is it going to be a Polonius?
It is not going to be a Polonius.
Okay.
And it's Best Actor, so Polonius would have been in the supporting.
Actor. So
yeah, it's either Best... I'm only looking at Actor or Actress. Okay, and all the ones who are nominated were title characters except one. Does that make sense, the question?
No. Sort of.
So like Hamlet, you know, that's one of the title characters.
Well, Ronald Coleman played Othello in A Double Life.
Right, but this is...
But that wasn't the title character.
Yeah, so this is... Right, A Double Life isn't the Shakespearean play. These are all films of Shakespeare's plays.
Oh, okay. Just a straight... All right. Can you give us an idea how long ago it was?
I was alive, and Kira wasn't.
Within the last 100 years? let's see.
It was a talkie.
It was a talkie. Okay. All right.
Wonderful.
So.
Thank you for narrowing that down.
Really.
Right. Was this possibly a modern-day version of a Shakespeare play? Or set in a different...
You mean a modern dress version, kind of?
Modern dress version?
I think I won't answer it.
Well, he said the Shakespeare version, so it's not going to be like a 10 Things I Hate About You or Romeo plus... Romeo plus Juliet, I think, had the right dialogue, but like 10 Things didn't...
Yeah, the title of the movie is the title of the Shakespeare play, so it isn't a variation
Macbeth. So it's not West Side Story or something like that.
No, this is... So the ones that don't count are like Olivier was nominated for Othello and Kenneth Branagh for Henry V, so it's one of those, but somebody nominated for Best Actor or Actress who's not a title character.
So it's probably going to be a movie where the play doesn't have a person's name in it, like As You Like It, or is there a Midsummer's Night Dream? This is probably going to be, well, it's older than I am, so I'm probably not going to know that it was ever a movie.
Most of them have been filmed.
Yeah. Right. Is it one of the better known plays, would you say?
Yes. I would say it is.
Can I ask if it is not one of the histories?
I'm going to dodge it a little bit. I'm not going to answer that.
Okay. How about Orson Welles and Chimes at Midnight?
Yeah, no, because he wasn't nominated.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're thinking he played Falstaff, right? Yeah. So that would be, if he were nominated for Best Actor, that would be right. But it is. He wasn't.
Okay.
So I'm looking, once again, the question is, who was nominated for Best Actor or Actress?
Can I at least ask if it's, did Richard Burton win this?
No.
Oh, wait, no, he never.
He never won.
Yeah, he never won.
I don't think Richard Burton
was nominated
for a Shakespeare role. He didn't do that many on screen,
so
right?
Either.
He had Tammy
right.
and the Shrew and a Hamlet, right. and not nominated for either.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call.
That's just part one.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Okay. For the question about the gravestone saying, I won't be right back after this message, Merv Griffin?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
That was Merv, huh?
Excellent.
And then for the one-syllable Beatles song title?
Yes.
I have Help.
Yes, you do.
Girl?
Yes.
Rain?
Yes.
And Wait.
4 for 4. You got them all.
Good job.
Excellent. Do you have the three syllables?
Only Revolution.
Oh, Revolution's one of them. Give her a bell.
Wait,
on that
that's
one.
Four syllables, though.
Revolution. It's four. Make it up the list.
Oh, well.
There's only three syllable songs.
Never mind.
All right.
Never mind. Thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. And let's see. It is my turn, isn't it? Okay. Here we go. Do you folks know what reduplications are in English?
Mm-hmm.
If I gave you an example of chit-chat, would that ring a bell? That would be a reduplication. Okay,
okay, that's what that means? So
yes.
You change one letter?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. So what I'm going to do is give you some definitions, and I want you to tell me the reduplication that goes with them, okay?
Okay.
So again, a reduplication is something like chit-chat, for instance, and so you can
helter-skelter.
Helter-skelter, that's good. Okay. So again, these are definitions of some reduplications. So you give me the actual
one. How many are there?
Five. So number one, in a disordered manner.
Higgly piggly.
Yes, let me go through the list first. Very
oh,
good.
Sorry.
Yes, that is correct.
Right.
In a disordered manner. There's another example for you. Higgly piggly. Number two, affectedly genteel. Affectedly genteel. Number three, a disorderly tumult.
As opposed to an orderly tumult.
Exactly. Number four, in a wild and reckless manner. And number five, in a random manner. So again, these are reduplications, such as in a disordered manner is higgly piggly. The other four are affectedly genteel. A disorderly tumult, number four, in a wild and reckless manner, and number five, in a random manner. I'll give you each. Well, you already had yours. I'll give you one. Yes.
Second one, hoity-toity?
Hoity-toity, yes. Affectedly genteel. It's hoity-toity. Very good.
And that's all you want us to get for now?
For now, as Curly and the Three Stooges would say. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky Matty. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right. Defender of the Constitution and all that, how about Charlton Heston?
No. That's a good guess, but no. And also, the full thing was at rest, an American soldier in Defender of the Constitution.
Yeah, true. And the way, you know, he loved his weapons.
Yeah.
All right, how about, in a wild manner, Dana, how about Riff Raff?
Let's see, let me just... In a wild and reckless manner, no.
How about the other one, Disorderly Man? One of them's got to be Riff Raff, I hope.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Since previous callers stole my one-syllable Beatle titles, I will get to the other three-syllable single-word Beatle titles. Misery.
Your fish is done, I think.
Yeah, that's just my microwave oven telling me that I've got to...
Well, that's how you're getting the answers. So what was your answer, Sparky?
Misery.
Yes, that's one of them.
And Julia.
And Julia. Very nice.
Good.
As a three-syllable word, which it is. Thank you. We got
Are
them
there
all.
Any more?
That's all. Revolution turns out as a four-syllable word, so
we'll take it off the list. Yeah, version.
Yeah.
Okay, we are done.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we're about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go first.
Not much. I'm looking for, or I've got a line from a tombstone of a famous person, and you tell me the gravesite I'm describing, and I only have in. That's the whole epitaph, in. Then there's I'm a writer, but then nobody's perfect. And finally, at rest, an American soldier and defender of the Constitution. And that's all I have.
Who is Love Will Tell Us Apart again?
Love Will Tear Us Apart is Ian Curtis of Joy Division. The rest of the band became New Order.
All I have is there's only been one person nominated for Best Actor or Actress in a film of a Shakespeare play with a Shakespeare title who is not a title character.
Okay.
Would Lady Macbeth count as is there a Lady Macbeth who was nominated?
It would count, but there isn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be because we could argue about whether she's a title character. Mm-hmm. She's not, I think, but we don't have to worry because no one was nominated.
And it's not the 29 version of The Taming of the Shrew.
It's not. I don't think any Cates or Petruchios were nominated.
Right.
They're not on my list.
Plus, he said it was something from after he was born, so... I think.
Thank you, by the
way.
Yeah,
I said the 29 version. let's see.
So cruel.
Kira's costume is great, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
And, all right, let's see. I'm sorry, did you give all the questions?
The Beatles questions people got, and so I just have the Shakespeare title character.
Okay, and so what I have is, what is the most visited national park in the U.S. that is named after a person? Most visited national park in the U.S. that is named after a person. And it is not a Native American person, as Kira brought up. It is not. So let's see. And Parenting Magazine did a survey last year in which they asked the kids involved, who took the survey, what was their least favorite Halloween candy. So far we have Mary Jane's and Good and Plenty, and I agree with both of those. So what are the others on the list? There are six on the list other than, including Mary Jane's and Good and Plenty. And reduplications in English, as in chit-chat and higgly-piggly, the ones we have left are a disorderly tumult and in a wild and reckless manner and in a random manner.
So did Lori accidentally use one of your answers in his example?
He did not.
Okay.
What was, I forgot what the, what it
I
was.
Thought he said Helter Skelter.
Is not Helter. Okay. None of them are Helter Skelter.
Okay.
And, yes, you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Minds Over Matter is here every day at 7. Our panel tonight is technical editor Kira Pace, retired but still technically active educator Lori Fisher.
You saw me grading papers.
Grading papers.
He's exhausted. He's been going since 1929, at least.
In a cry for help, he was grading papers from 1978.
Yeah, I promised him back on Monday. I didn't say which Monday.
All right. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us, as I said, on 91.7 FM. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Okay, they got Misery, right?
They did.
How about In My Life, or has it got to be one syllable?
Well, it doesn't have to be one syllable. It has to be one word, and In My Life is three words.
One word. Okay. How about Billy Wilder?
What's
for
the question?
Which one?
For the tombstone.
Which one?
I'm a writer.
That's it? That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
Very good.
I have some questions. You get a lot of smart people calling in, but there don't seem to be too many doctors, okay? So here's some medical. We're talking about bones, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is
these,
the neck
the
bone
Latin
connected
derivation,
to the... Go ahead.
Latin derivation. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Moon. For a bone.
From
the Latin word.
The luna. The.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Ulna?
No, you were so close.
Oh. No, moon. It's L-U-L-U. Is it Latin? There's a...
Well, he wants a bone named after the moon, right?
Yeah, so it would be...
Exactly.
So what bone are you saying?
It's something that starts with L-U-N, isn't there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The loom...
The lunate is in the rib.
Lunate, all right.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll go a little easier.
Yeah.
A bone named after the Latin for a curve, because the bone is curved.
An arc. Is that it? Not an arc?
The arc bone. No.
Arc is Greek.
Oh, okay.
The...
named after it's got arc. Kind of a radial curve to it.
How about your radius?
Radius.
There you go.
It's okay. Right next to the ulna, right?
Exactly. How about a muscle for named after a tailor? Because the way the tailor sits.
The way tailors sit cross-legged.
Exactly. So what's the big muscle that sticks out when you're cross-legged named after the tailor who sits in that position?
So it's on either side of your thigh.
Do we have two
on
of
the
these
inside.
Muscles?
On the inside.
On the inside of your thigh?
Think of Taylor.
Yeah. All I got was hamstring, but there's no way that's right.
Hamstrings is in the back, wrong side of the leg.
It's not a groin muscle.
It comes up in the groin, but think of a tailor.
A tailor.
Splendor is, what do you call it? If you dress well.
Natty.
I'm trying to help you guys.
Dapper.
No. It's you dress, you have some kind of a splendor.
Aplomb.
You haven't got any.
We're not rising to the occasion. What's that?
Sartorian splendor.
Oh, Sartorian. Okay, Sartorius muscle. Okay, yes, all right.
I don't have one.
Okay. Yes. A Greek battle formation. What do you call a Greek battle formation? There's bones named after them. Your feet and
hands. Tarsals or tarsus.
No.
No?
Further out.
Planter is bottom.
Greek battle formation.
Is
you guys better study your anatomy here. Come
why?
On.
Is this done in a square, some sort of square?
No, long battle formation, Greek battle formation. You say it's a blank of soldiers or in one formation?
Phalanx.
Exactly.
Very good. Yeah.
Very good. One more since you've done so
boy,
well.
You're killing us.
Since you've done so well. The stomach of the leg. Okay, if you look at your calf, it looks kind of like a stomach. What muscle is that?
It's in your calf, right? The back of your leg.
Think of stomach of your leg.
So does it start with gastro or gastro?
Exactly.
Okay, well, I'm tapping out now. I'll okay. leave it so to
what
the
rest is it?
Of you.
Gastrocnemius.
Oh, never heard of it.
Oh.
Okay, everybody, one more.
Okay.
Vinegar cup. Do you remember what vinegar is?
Yes.
In chemistry?
Spoiled wine.
An acid? No, it's a
base. Acid.
Okay. Yeah.
What is vinegar? What kind of, remember from chemistry? You guys were all in the arts, I can tell.
Yeah. well, pretty much.
Were we in the same chemistry class together? I went to high school with this guy.
Yeah. I think so. I don't think you actually showed up in class. You were flirting in the back.
I was reading poetry to young
people. All right, you better fill us in.
Okay. It's the acetic acid. The acetabulum is the hip socket because it was used for a vinegar cup. I get so many bells. I am all belled out.
That's right. There you go.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
I haven't heard of many of those muscles. I don't think I have them. Yeah,
you do. You just don't use them. And let's see. Whose turn is it? I think it's your. Is it your turn, Laurie? It might be your turn. I think Kara just. Did Kara do the last question?
No, I think it.
Or did?
No, I think the last one was the random manner, wild and reckless manner. So.
All right, then it's your turn.
Sorry about your luck. let's see. I don't want to do. Okay, well, this one's easy. So of all the territorial and provincial capitals, if you put them all together in a single string of letters, the provincial and territorial capitals of Canada use every single letter except for one. What is the one letter that is in no provincial or territorial capital of Canada?
That is such a scary question. All right, start that again.
Sure.
I want to make sure I understand this.
Okay, so just the capital cities of Canada, the provincial and territorial capitals.
Right.
25 out of 26 letters of the alphabet are used somewhere in those capital names. One letter is not used. What's that one letter?
Is there a Z used, really?
There's not. No, that's the letter.
Oh, all
Bell.
Right.
That was a good guess. I was going to guess that because I thought of Quebec and that was it.
Yeah.
And the X is used in Halifax, so...
All right, Laurie, now it's your turn.
All right. Well, I have another song question here. I'm going to give you the name of a popular singer or group who had a hit record.
Did I say it was your turn?
Yeah.
All right.
You like this. You do okay at this. You did okay. The clue is, in every case, the answer is the same word repeated twice. So if I said The Kingsmen, you would say Louie, Louie. Right? Here are the five.
I would say that anyway.
Yeah. Well, Dana, and
like
Dana would roll his eyes. Like chit chat. So here they are. I have The Mamas and the Papas.
Monday.
There you go. Right. I'm going to go through. Oh, okay. Let me go through the whole list like Dana does.
Okay.
Neil Diamond. That'll be number two. The New Christy Minstrels. Dionne Warwick. The Beau Brummels. And last will be the Archies. So I'm looking for, as with Monday and Louie Louie, a double-worded hit song by Neil Diamond, the New Christy Minstrels, Dionne Warwick, the Beau Brummels, and the Archies.
I'm not proud I know this, but the Archies is Sugar Sugar.
Yeah.
See, I knew you'd know one. Very good. Okay, I'll give you each one more.
No, I should know Neil Diamond offhand, but I'm going to have
should.
To think about that. No,
okay.
I was going to do the Archies, too.
All
so
right.
I'll have to think.
All right, so we got Neil Diamond, the New Christy Minstrels, Dionne Warwick, and the Beau Brummels.
All right. And
all famous songs.
Okay. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom calling from inside the station.
Wait a minute, is the babysitter dead too? All
right.
Nobody turn on the lights. Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out Tom's been dead for 20 years.
Yeah. Oh, I've been dead inside for a lot longer than that.
Oh, all right.
Actually, do you know who played the babysitter in that movie? The Oscar-nominated actress.
Drew Barrymore? No.
No. Is it? Well, there have been many versions of this now. So which?
The first version.
The.
And the movie, of course, is When a Stranger Calls.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, the it's. Oh, she was in Annie Hall, right? And
very good.
And
Hemingway?
And played Andy Kaufman's girlfriend on Taxi.
Oh, Carol Kane. Good.
Carol Kane. That's
Carol Kane.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. And the police detective was played by an Oscar-nominated actor.
Was it Warren Oates?
No.
I have no idea.
Who was that? Can't think. What? Give me something this person was in.
Let's see. Well, he was nominated for supporting actor, I think, at two movies. One was Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, Charles Durning.
Charles Durning. Very
okay.
good.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, let's see. I've got some answers. I hope.
All right.
The most visited national park named after a person. Is that Bryce Canyon?
It is Bryce Canyon. Oh. Yes. Named after Ebenezer Bryce. Very good.
But their name was Bryce Canyon.
Wonderful. least favorite candies?
Yes.
Abba Zaba?
No, I can understand why you said
there.
That. Yeah. They're kind of like Mary Jane's, sort of.
Yeah, Sugar Daddies?
No,
another
good guess. So apparently people remember anything that's going to break your teeth they want to put on the list.
Yeah.
Not Sugar Daddies, no.
Okay, reduplications. Reckless Manner, is that Mishmash?
In a Wild and Reckless Manner, it is not Mishmash, no.
Oh, how about Higgledy Piggledy?
Higgledy Piggledy was in a Disordered Manner. So that is, I think, Lori got that,
I got
right?
That.
Yeah, but that's the
Oh,
right.
got that? Oh, okay.
You're right.
I guess that was going to be Hubbub. And I don't know if that's it.
Is Hubbub?
No.
And I think, the Beau Brummels, did they do Lollipop Lollipop?
They did not. That's not on the list.
I don't even know if that was a double name song. It might have just been Lollipop.
It might have been one lolly. I think it was. It's a double name song, but not the Beau Brummels.
Oh, and I had one other question. Frank Oz, who got his start at Children's at the Fairyland over here in Oakland, he only appeared in one. Well, he was in one movie where he appeared both as a voice actor and as a live actor.
Is that the Blues Brothers movie?
No, no. That he was only the
just
only
live.
The live
okay.
Actor.
Did he direct this movie too, by any chance?
He did not.
Okay. Huh.
But you may know who directed the movie based on it's the director he's worked with most as an actor.
I guess probably Jim Henson.
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Well, as a live actor, let's put it that way.
Okay. I mean, he's worked with. No.
Huh.
Is it a John Landis movie?
It is a John Landis movie.
Okay. Is it maybe? It wouldn't be in that. I don't think it wouldn't be Coming to America, would it?
No.
It's not okay. Animal House, is it?
No.
All right.
Not an American Werewolf in London.
It is.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, he appears as Miss Piggy in one of the dream sequences,
oh.
if you've seen the movie.
That's cool.
Weird. And he's also a consular officer from the American Embassy,
oh.
talking about how dumb kids are these days.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a bunch.
All right.
Show.
So is one of the reduplications hodgepodge?
It is not. No.
Oh, really? Oh.
No. Which one were you thinking of?
I thought In a Random Manner would be a hodgepodge.
That's a good, that's a perfectly reasonable answer.
Yeah,
but
not the one you have.
No,
what about Hullabaloo?
No.
Hullabaloo, would that be a reduplication?
Not really.
No. Of sounds.
How about a mishmash?
No.
Well, they all sound good.
For the candies, what about Dum Dums or Laffy Taffy?
Ooh.
No, not a one.
Turkish Taffy?
No.
No. Taffies. How about candy corn? People say,
oh,
I like
that's
candy.
It.
I like candy corn.
But
a lot of other people don't.
But that doesn't.
It's not.
Mean
no,
it
has nothing to do with me.
Magazine.
I will honestly say that the number two, number three are really repellent candies.
Repellent.
So,
yeah.
I mean, they're
it's probably
awful.
One of those chalky candies.
They're
but
just,
not sweet tarts. What's the really, really chalky one?
Sweet tarts are pretty chalky.
They're pretty chalky, but there's one that's more so.
I'm also thinking licorice-y. So Good and Plenty.
Oh, and like Mike and Ike's. But people
I like
those.
Mike and Ike's.
Yeah, yeah.
Data's editing delicious.
Nobody asked me for my opinion on this. I know. Okay, so let's see. It's my turn, isn't it? Didn't you just do one?
I did the double worded songs.
Yeah, that was so. You did the last one.
No, shoot. The I thought I had the Neil Diamond one, but I was thinking of Holly Holy the whole time. So nope, forget it.
That's a hodgepodge word. A reduplication, but not a double.
It's
word.
It's practically a double word. Right. Just missing an L.
I'll give you two questions because they're one has to do with the date. The city named after this person, or I should say, the person who had a city in the U.S. named after them, was beheaded on this day in 1618.
To say
Raleigh?
Yes. Oh. Sir Walter Raleigh. Very good.
Nice.
That was easy. All right.
I hear he was also a spy and an explorer.
That's right. That's right.
See, I learned my lessons.
That joke from that John Ford movie, that grand Irishman, Sir Walter Raleigh. and let's see. What is the what is by percentage the whitest big city in America?
Oh.
The whitest big city in America?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how big the big city has to be.
Well, I think they consider it anything over 100,000 or something.
Okay, because, I mean, that opens up a ton of Michigan. Like, Pinckney is very white.
This is a major city.
Okay, so more.
So by percentage, what is the, in terms of population, what is the whitest big city
how
in America?
How about Juneau?
Good guess.
I'd be surprised if they have 100,000.
Yeah, I don't think they have 100,000 in Juneau.
Yeah, so I think we can sort of get rid of anything in, like, the
I think
Dakotas,
everybody was indoors
Wyoming.
When I visited.
Okay, or Montana.
It's not in Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay, Idaho,
what about,
none of those.
What about, like, Des Moines?
No.
Okay.
Des Moines has a big Hispanic population.
Yeah.
A lot of cities in Iowa do.
Yeah, they do. An Asian population.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So again, what is the whitest by percentage of white folks? What is the whitest big city in America?
Hmm. Wouldn't it be funny if it's one of the Twin Cities? Because one of them has a huge like Somalian population,
that's
but
right.
I don't know about the other one.
Well,
no, the Twin Cities have a big minority population.
Both. Yeah, well, I know,
both
of them do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, leave that out. And The two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hey, Alec.
So I'm going to guess that at rest an American soldier and defender of the Constitution is what's on the tombstone of Robert E. Lee.
Oh, you are so close.
Oh.
You are practically there.
Stonewall Jackson?
No, you need to go
Jefferson
in the...
Jefferson Davis.
There you go.
All right.
The president of the Confederacy, but totes into the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
there you
really
go.
Really interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice job.
A wild and reckless manner, pell-mell.
In a wild and reckless manner is pell-mell.
Nice.
Yeah. Very good.
A disorderly tumult would be hurly-burly.
That is correct also.
So, in a random matter I'm less sure about, hodgepodge would be good, but that's a noun.
Right.
So I'm going to say harum-scarum.
That's an excellent answer, but it's not the one.
Okay. Least favorite candy. These are total guesses. I don't know if they still get handed out. Milk duds.
Oh, not milk duds. They're
I love
still
milk
around.
Duds.
Yeah. See.
Now and later.
No.
Wax lips.
No.
And my Jerry Nachman memorial answer, because he once said on a Halloween episode that he liked these circus peanuts.
Circus peanuts is number two.
Yeah.
And they're
right.
Really awful.
True.
But
the, I think Jerry was the only one that ever liked them.
Send the bag by the station.
Hates, I remember.
That's great.
Okay, double word song title.
Yes.
Neil Diamond's is Cherry Cherry.
It is. Aww. Very nice.
Good. And Bo Brummel's, one of my favorite bands, Laugh Laugh.
Excellent. Yeah, local San Francisco band, right?
Yep.
Yeah, really good
Beatles
band.
Beatles I can't do. I can do She Said, but that's four words.
That is. We would count it. Yeah, very nice.
Okay, and I'm going to guess that the whitest big city is Omaha, but they probably also have a big Hispanic population.
I think they do. I don't know how big, but
yeah.
it's not it.
Significant. People work right. On the farms out there. I lived in Iowa a couple of years.
Mm.
All right, so I got a question for you.
Oh.
According to IMDb, mm-hmm. in movie titles... there are seven beings or groups of beings that either meet Frankenstein or are met by Frankenstein.
Oh, I love this.
Well, Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello.
So
that's my
seven.
Favorite.
Abbott and Costello is one.
What's Frankenstein versus? Is it?
Talking. I'm not taking verses. I'm only taking.
Meets. Oh, they have to meet him.
And I didn't. I just to let you know. Jesse James meets Frankenstein's daughter does not qualify.
Oh, because of the daughter?
Yeah, it's not Frankenstein.
So are some of these the 60s Mexican horror films?
I don't think any of these are Mexican. There's one of them, but there's a few I never heard of before I looked it
no,
up.
No, it is Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
There is Frankenstein yeah. meets the Wolfman.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. And
that's not the only time he meets him, but that's a movie.
Yeah, and the word meets has to be in there. Is that?
Yep.
Okay.
Does he meet the werewolf?
And it has to be Frankenstein.
Yeah. It has to be Frankenstein.
So Frankenstein.
How about the werewolf?
Frankenstein nope, meets. There's only Frankenstein meets the wolfman.
So Abbott Costello meets Frankenstein. He said that. And Frankenstein meets the wolfman. And then...
There's one more that's, very guessable, and the rest
like
are pretty crazy.
How about Dracula?
It's Dracula.
Okay.
Frankenstein meets Dracula.
Yeah. And the others are just... I don't even know who most of these people are, so...
So are there any other comedians, like the Rich Brothers or...
No.
Martin
well,
or Rossi?
There's Alan and Rossi is one of them.
Oh, you're kidding.
Who were Alan and Rossi? I never heard of them.
Oh, they were a comedic team.
Yeah, Marty Allen and Steve Rossi. Marty Allen's still around.
Hello there.
They met Frankenstein.
Hello there.
Yeah. Hysterically funny.
Oh, it's the Hello There. I know that one.
That's Alan and Rossi.
That's Alan and Rossi, yeah.
I had no idea they met Frankenstein.
Yeah. Do you want to take any more guesses?
Did the thousand-year-old man ever meet Frankenstein?
Not in a movie. Yeah.
So wait a minute. This has to be a feature film released to theaters.
Yeah, I searched on movies only, not TV movies or anything like
meets
that.
Frankenstein meets... The Space Monster.
The Space Monster is another one.
Yes, nice Japanese. Work. Okay.
Does he meet Godzilla?
So... No, he doesn't meet... Well, there's a Godzilla versus Frankenstein.
That's what I was thinking of.
So there's another one where Frankenstein meets is an alternate title, and it was released also as Frankenstein Conquers the World, if that's any help.
Right. And who's that? Nick Adams is in that. Frankenstein Conquers the World. Yes. And What is it?
Was it like Martians, aliens?
He never met Mothra.
Nope.
With the little princesses singing.
It's a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh. So is the other one a Japanese film too? You might not know. I don't know.
I don't think so. So the other one, the one I've really never heard of, is from the 50s. It's from 1954, and it sounds like
54.
The name of a historical figure.
Frankenstein meets Jefferson Davis. Frankenstein. 54.
Yep.
It can't be an American film.
I don't think it is.
Could be Mexican. They made all kinds of stuff like that. No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
So Frankenstein Conquers the World is also known as Frankenstein Meets the Giant Devilfish.
Oh, of course.
And the 1954 one, which probably bears further investigation, is Frankenstein Meets Ismail Yassin.
Has Ede heard about this?
You know just as much about it as I do now, and maybe Ede is picking up his phone.
All right, yeah, he probably is.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
I am so grateful for Jerry. Jerry, it was, my mind was working so hard on
this. Thank you. Yeah, great song.
So anyway, what I am trying to guess is the Shakespeare actor.
Yes.
Would that be Marlon Brando as Mark Antony in Julius Caesar?
That's exactly right.
Oh, very good.
Oh,
very nice. Marlon Brando as Mark Antony, not the title character of Julius Caesar. Very good. Really good. Thank you.
So I have a question, and I'm just throwing it in because it's so amusing to me. I've been reading this book about the Oscars, and it turns out that one of the supporting actresses did not get her Oscar, that somebody in the audience picked it up like she wasn't there, and so I'm her friend and I'm picking this Oscar up for her. She was the supporting actress.
Hmm.
We're talking really early days.
Like,
well,
the 30s?
Yeah.
Supporting actress, so it was 36 on, so I don't know. Gail Sondergaard.
And it's not 36.
Oh.
It's 37. In old Chicago.
Oh, Alice Brady?
Yeah. I just thought that was so much fun. I had to share it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Alice.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I guess we got to clean up here. What do we got?
Wait, what about Kalamazoo or East Lansing or Grand Rapids?
Nope.
What is the percentage of that city that's
72.2.
Okay. Right. Is it east of the Mississippi?
It is not.
It is not.
West of the Mississippi. Oh, Oklahoma City?
Nope.
No.
All right.
Anyway. Okay. Well, I only have one tombstone, and it's Inn, and that is Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon Inn. That's his whole.
Oh.
That's his whole tombstone.
Jack Lemmon, the actor.
Yeah.
Inn.
He was in a lot of stuff,
right,
including his grave.
All right.
I think. Yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
I have the two songs with double titles. Dionne Warwick is Promises, Promises.
All right.
And the new Christy Minstrel sang a big hit called Green Green. Green, they say.
Yeah,
on the dark
side
of the hill.
I actually saw them in concert once when I was a little kid.
And you lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, I did.
All right. I'm sure they have many fans out there, and they were wonderful. I think that's all I have. We got the Beatles songs, and somebody got Marlon Brando. Thank you for that.
All right. So that's it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. The let's see. The Parenting Magazine, the candy survey, the ones that nobody got of the worst, least favorite candy of for Halloween for kids, that kids sing. Bitto Honey, which was, I think you were trying to think of earlier, because that's the one that has
terrible.
The gold and black wrapper on it.
And it's like brittle. It's
it's really hard.
That's a really good bad candy.
And the number one was Whoppers. Whoppers is that awful malted.
Whoppers are wonderful.
Oh,
they're
God.
So good.
Balls, right?
They're so good.
Oh, they are great.
Right?
I'm with you.
Oh, my God. It.
Oh, no, they...
They're like mothballs.
They have chocolate.
Malted mothballs.
They're malted covered chocolate mothballs.
I think maybe you've just been eating from the wrong packet.
Oh.
But they are chalky, like you predicted they would be. They're kind of
in a random manner is willy-nilly.
Mm.
Yeah. And the whitest big city in America, 72.2% white, is Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
I am actually surprised.
So we didn't get to your call. We do apologize. Have a great Halloween out there, everybody. We really hope you be safe. Yes, our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, retired educator Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Lotulit and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate that very, very much. And please, everybody, if you get something from mindsovermatter at yahoo.com, I really do apologize. Somebody hacked into that. And if they're asking for anything,
David's having a great time.
Just ignore it.
Keep
okay?
talking.
Please.
This is good.
Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.